Welcome to Shotgun Story, the podcast that has conversations with indie creators about music, meaning, and the point of it all, so that you may be inspired by the journeys of other artists who are doing it for themselves, and maybe gain a little more understanding as to why it matters quite so much that you keep creating. Stanley Sibande is a Zambian-born, Cape Town-based, multi-instrumentalist singer-songwriter, and I've got him remotely in Cape Town right now. Hi, Stanley.
Hi, Tori. How are you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this.
Me too. I've heard so many good things about you and your music, and I am looking forward to unwrapping.
Yeah, likewise. It's actually funny because my roommate is Jono Tate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for those who don't know, runs this amazing, amazing venue in Cape Town called Alma Cafe that people should check out. And I've heard so many things about you through him. I also work with Sit the Folk Down. I've heard a lot of great things about you through John and through Kevin. So this is, yeah.
I think it is long overdue.
Exactly.
So, I mean, let's start right in that bio of yours, multi-instrumentalist. So what instruments do you play?
So I play guitar, I play drums, I play bass, I play a little bit of piano, and I sing.
And how did music find you?
How did music find me? From a very, very young age, I come from a singing family, if you could say. Mm-hmm. And my sister used to play a lot of boy band music in the early 2000s. And she would blare it very loudly in the living room and just lose herself screaming to the lyrics. And I would join her because it seemed fun. That's how I started singing. I've always had a love for instruments. I've always been enamored by, you know, the general vibe around instruments from a young age. And I decided to pick up guitar in 2013, just after I finished high school, when I was taking a gap year. And that's when I started my journey into learning how to play instruments and so on and so forth. I've been writing music since around 2013 as well, and I've been performing for crowds as a living since around 2017.
Wonderful. You mentioned that you come from a singing family. I'm so intrigued about that, actually. What kind of music did your family sing that you grew up on?
There was quite a diversity of music being played in the household. I lived with quite a few of my uncles, who really loved playing hip-hop and various types of Zambian music. I grew up in a very, very religious household as well, so there was a lot of gospel music being played too. And yeah, it was just a nice melting pot of different genres.
Beautiful. And do you feel like those genres have all influenced your music equally, or is there one more?
I would say the genre of music that's influenced me the most up until this point is rock music and the various subgenres around rock music, because that's what I gravitated more towards when I finally got to the point where I could decide what music I listened to. But yeah, when it comes to, you know, me singing and so on and so forth, there is quite a lot of influence from the various genres of pop music in there.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of what I started with.
And so when did you come to Cape Town?
So I came to Cape Town in 2019. It's been around 5 years now. I got to Cape Town on the 21st of February 2019, I believe.
Yeah.
It was a very, very scary it was a very, very scary decision to make. I sort of made it on a whim after going through some stuff back home, and yeah. Before I decided to leave, I booked a couple of gigs. I had a gig at the Alma Cafe. I had some gigs with Sit the Folk Down at the Striped Horse in Musenberg, and at the Striped Horse when there used to be one in town. And when I had booked enough gigs, I set a date for myself for when I was supposed to leave Zambia. And that was around the 19th of February. And so 19th of February, got on a bus in the capital city of Zambia, Lusaka. Bus took me down to Joburg. I spent a day with a friend of mine in Joburg, and then the next day I caught a flight from Joburg to Cape Town, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. And had you been to South Africa before that you knew to book shows at Alma Cafe and to book shows at Striped horse?
No, I hadn't. So the backstory of me deciding to try to book gigs in South Africa is when I decided to leave Zambia, I was initially going to move to the United States. And I got to a point where I'd raised sort of enough money to be able to do that. And I reached out to some friends who lived in the United States. And the sentiment that all of them gave me was it would be much better for me to try something that was a little bit closer to home. Because a lot of them say that there would be quite a lot of culture shock that I would experience. And that, yeah, it was just better for me to try something from home. At the time, I had a lot of friends through like Facebook and Instagram and the like that were South African, are South African, and that are musicians. So I started reaching out to a lot of them to see what venues I could reach out to and what shows I could book. And that's basically how I got to know about venues in Cape Town. I also did a lot of Googling, And so when I had all of that information, I just sent out a bunch of emails, and the people that took the time to respond to those emails are the people that I booked gigs with. And then, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing because you really have hit on the zeitgeist of Cape Town venues and humans. So, I mean, that's amazing. And yeah. I love that you said people who took the time to respond to emails, because that is particularly important, that those are the people.
Exactly. It's a bit of a culture in Cape Town to just sort of ignore. To ignore and be flaky. I don't want to speak badly about Cape Town, because there are a lot of great things about it, but anybody who's spent any sort of time in the music scene here will tell you the same thing. People are very clicky, people are very flaky, and a lot of people will just straight up ignore. But it is what it is, you know.
It is what it is. And in fact, it's not just the music scene. Cape Town is quite known for that. But I've found that when you find your people, they are so beautiful and embracing that it dispels all of those preconceived ideas that we have. But it's about finding those humans.
I feel like having the obstacle of, you know, working through all of those things makes you value your people even more when you find them. If it was easy, you wouldn't hold it to any sort of regard. When you finally find your group of people, you'd just be like, oh, cool, I have some friends that I didn't really have to work too hard to find.
Beautiful, exactly. Mm-hmm. So 5 years in Cape Town, three highlights of that period so far.
Okay, I would say my first highlight would be the release of my first album, Hopeless Dreams. Yeah, that was a very, very surreal experience. That was a point where it felt like a lot of the things that I had spent so many years daydreaming about, you know, were actually in front of me and were within reach. The release of my first music video for a song called Cuts, that's on the Hopeless Dreams album. That was quite a huge milestone as well. And the third highlight, I would say, is me just recently announcing my tour to London that I'm going to be doing in July of this year.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And scary, but very, very exciting. Yeah, I can recall back to a time in Zambia where almost everything that I've done up until this point would be stuff that would just be in my daydreams. I would just sit and daydream for hours and hours and hours about doing all this stuff, and I've managed to do it. And it's strange because it doesn't feel real in the moment, but it's actually happening. And announcing the tour and seeing the response, the very, very positive responses from so many people, kind of gave me a kick in the ass and said, wake up, dude, it's actually happening. You know, breathe it in. Savor it.
That. I mean, that London trip sounds unbelievable. Is it through Sit the Folk Down that you're going?
No, it's not. So this is something that I have orchestrated mostly on my own. And the parts of it that I didn't orchestrate, I tried to find people around me who could do so. So I have a friend who's also been a booking agent for me on and off for the last 5 years that I've been here. His name is Llewellyn Screen. And so Llewellyn moved to the UK last year in June. And so when he moved to June, I asked him if he could book me a couple of dates. And we started reaching out to venues in June of last year. And we've managed to get the dates that we have now. And the backstory for me trying to tour the UK or Europe actually stretches back to it stretches back to 2020. The plan was to spend about a year in South Africa and then, you know, go to Europe in 2020 or go to the UK in 2020 and spend some time there. But a couple of weird things happened in 2020 that prevented that. And so when all of that subsided, I started working towards being able to go to Europe again. So for most of 2022, I spent a lot of time just really working hard and saving up money to be able to do so. And in 2023, I managed to save up all of the money that I needed around February of 2023. And so I started reaching out to venues in Europe around March to try to book dates for July of 2023. And most of the venues that I reached out to, unfortunately, weren't able to give me any dates because a lot of venues in Europe will book months in advance. Yeah. So at that point, I decided to postpone my tour to this year. And that's when I reached out to Llewellyn and we started reaching out to venues.
So cool. And so cool to orchestrate it yourself, to like be the reason that it's happening.
Exactly. It's ultimately, like, regardless of whether I'm involved with a label or not, I have the biggest responsibility to the upward mobility of my career. Like, it benefits me the most, so it makes sense that I should have to bear most of the load. And it's really exciting because you get to see all of the stuff behind the scenes and really, really learn about it, which means you can, if somebody ever wanted to, you know, pick your brain for information and ask you how you did it, you can give them that information. And also in situations, unfortunately, where, you know, people try to play some tricks on you, because you know what is supposed to be happening, you're less likely to fall victim to that sort of stuff. It's really just fun. It's great when, you're in music and the fact that you're doing music exposes you to so many different worlds. The world of being a booking agent, the world of being a traveling agent, the world of, you know, doing all of this stuff.
And now, what is your favorite thing about making music?
My favorite thing about making music is also the reason that I started making music. And that's being able to sit in a room on my own and express myself with no inhibitions or boundaries or self-consciousness about how I'm perceived. Mm-hmm. That's what led to me starting to do music. As a child, I wasn't very expressive. I went through different phases of, you know, being a rebellious teenager and so on and so forth. And when I landed on music, that was the thing that enabled me to express myself in the most authentic way without being self-destructive. And so I could just sit on my own and not have anybody listening to me. And it didn't matter. I could just play my guitar and write a couple of really corny songs in my songbook and pack them away and go back to them whenever I needed to go back to them. And yeah, I fell in love with all of that. And it's still very much the same for me today. It's kind of contributed to why I have difficulty putting a band together, because when you spend so much time writing music in that way, it becomes incredibly personal. It's like having a child almost. And I'm very iffy about letting other people have any sort of say in how that child is kept and or raised. Yeah.
And when you play your music live, what do you hope that your audience will take away from your show?
If they see me expressing something that they can relate to, the biggest thing that I hope people take away is that they're not alone in that. When I was, again, this goes back to what led me to starting to do music. When I was going through my very weird sort of rebellious, heavily emotional stage in my teenage years, one of the things that would always make me feel understood and make me feel not alone would be sitting down and listening to Linkin Park. You know? and that's what I want people to take away, because regardless of what I was going through, the world would always melt away whenever I would sit down and listen to all of the artists that I loved listening to. And it would always feel like, it doesn't matter what you're going through, man, there's always somebody who will get it, and you're not alone, and you're understood. The understanding may not be coming from the people around you, but it's out there somewhere.
You speak about essentially music teaching you to express yourself, right? I'm a big believer that everyone should make music and should have access to making music and should learn how to do it, whether they decide to take it on into their lives as a profession or not. I feel like everybody should be making some kind of art. What advice would you give to everybody else who is creating in the world?
It is okay to suck. It is okay to suck. You're going to suck, and it's okay. Keep on sucking, and I guarantee you, as you suck consistently, you will suck less. It's okay to suck.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Something about you, people would be surprised to know.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm an electrical engineer.
No.
Yeah.
See how surprised I am? That was a good one.
Yeah.
Best song ever written?
There's a song called State Lines by an artist called Novo Amor. Right now, that's to me the best song ever written.
Fabulous. Okay, now social media links that people can follow you on to find out more about your tour and about what you're doing and keep track of your adventures.
Okay. So people can find me on all social media and streaming platforms. So on Instagram, that would be Stanley Sivande Music.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, it would be the same. On YouTube, it's just Stanley Sivande. You're going to find me there. On TikTok, it's Stanley Sivande Music. And yeah.
Okay, amazing. Thank you, Stanley. That is so exciting. And I can't wait to go and see what you are up to in London. I mean, I'm going to send all my London friends and family because so many of my friends have moved and my people. Oh, wow. And I will tell them to come to your show.
All right. Is that something that you would ever consider doing? I know a lot of people are doing it right now where they're like, you know what? I'm kind of frustrated with South Africa in general right now and I'm leaving.
So, interestingly enough, I lived in London for 6 years and I studied there. And I love South Africa. We are very lucky. And I think that people only realize when they get over there how different the lifestyle is. We are so blessed to live in South Africa.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually move back because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally would like to go tour a little bit more and start to make music overseas again. But I don't want to leave South Africa.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Would you consider moving there?
You know, at the beginning of when I just left Zambia, I was strongly considering it. But right now, no, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Because it feels like the last place in the world where there is seemingly an infinite amount of untapped potential is Africa.
Yes, and exactly.
Yeah. And our perception of it, unfortunately, is shaped by, you know, Western media and the like. And it's always communicated to us that, you know, the best chance of you having success is you leaving Africa because Africa is an opportunity desert. But I don't think it is. I don't think it is. As we have more African countries having access to the internet and as we have communication sort of become like a unanimous thing across Africa, as we have less and less restrictions around borders and how us as Africans can move around, the amount of stuff that we're going to be able to do in this continent is insane. And yeah, it would be a terrible, terrible idea to leave. Because if you leave and you come back, when everybody's progressed to, you know, the sixth level, you're going to have to start again from the first level. No.
Yeah. It's so nice to hear you feel that way.
I feel like the reason that we always feel like, oh, you know, there's really nothing going on in Africa is all of the people who gain ability to do stuff or gain knowledge who leave. And so every time you have somebody who gets a great deal of talent or gets a great deal of knowledge, the knowledge isn't being shared amongst us. It's being taken to another place, which is, you know, that sucks. Somebody at some point has to be like, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to try to stay here and teach people, you know.
Yeah, I think people will start coming back, and I hope so. I think maybe we've got a few years of slump, maybe, particularly here in Joburg. I mean, the semigration out of Johannesburg has been wild as well. So many people moving to Cape Town and to Durban. I hear of it weekly at the moment.
Oh, man.
But Joburg is so good in its own way. It's still exciting.
That's amazing to hear.
Stanley, I am in Cape Town, actually, in a couple of weeks' time. And maybe we should connect for a coffee.
That would be lovely. I would love that.
Yeah, good. This has been so nice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for asking me to do this. This was really, really lovely.
If you are an independent artist whose passion for what you do can inspire or fuel others, get in touch. I'd love to chat. You can find me on shotguntory.com.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.